Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, we're going to break down some hot topics from The View. And Mayor Mike Kaufman's going to call in from Aurora, Colorado. He's the one who went out and lived in the homeless encampment and also in the shelters. He has very strong opinions. We'll get into that. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Well, sure you do. You do one or the other. And then there is your automotive policy. How about you get your bundle working when you get it bundled up at Geico? Geico makes it easy to take your homeowner's or your renter's insurance and bundle it up with your automotive policy. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could be saving when you bundle at Geico. That is geico.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night! And welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight. This is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy. It's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us. We don't do interviews. We do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill. We drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
We're back inside the toolbox and staring into space, so lock it down and turn it up. We're in the middle of another super set of 70s hits on the only station air-conditioned by God himself. This is the Toolbox. As the U.S. prepares to release all the intelligence related to unidentified flying objects, let's be honest, if the truth is out there, I'd rather live a lie. I don't need another thing to believe in. My plate is full, Agent Mulder. In other news, the Mars rover found evidence of a guitar on Mars, so yeah, still no sign of intelligent life. This flashback ransack on the Toolbox brought to you by Olive Garden. Olive Garden, solid proof there's no intelligent life on Earth. Cooler temps across the Southland this week, so enjoy it before we get close to sun service temps. Here's a band that was on to aliens long before anyone else. They took the name UFO, and while I wish it stood for UF off, we all know what it really means. Unadulterated frequency obliteration. UFO on the Toolbox. One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game, and the Aurora, Colorado Mayor Mike Kaufman calls in. And now, for him, every day is D-Day, if the D is for diatribe. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. And man, did you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
I don't want to be perceived as hetero.
Don't worry about that.
Oh. Well, I got an interesting thought.
No.
Came up with it Thursday night, which is, I think any chick who goes into porn worries about her dad one day confronting her.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Perhaps, you know? And then back in the day, there was a little mutually exclusive destruction, mutually insured destruction, which is back in the day, way back in the day, if you're a woman and did porn, it also meant your dad had to go into a pussycat theater.
Yes, if he saw you.
Right. The Tomcat.
Where did he see you?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And now dads have computers, and they could be combing through YouPorn.
Things get forwarded.
While they're driving,
things get forwarded to them.
Yeah,
right. But I was thinking about, this is a good argument for a dude getting into gay porn.
Oh, go on.
Let's hear it.
Well, because if the dad ever tries to out you, you're like, interesting.
Yeah. What were you doing on SeanCody.com?
Yeah. So.
What are you talking about?
We're kind of talking about what mom would think about this whole thing. Mm-hmm. I'd be curious what mom would think about this whole thing. Mm-hmm. So who should tell mom?
Yeah, dad
about
says,
this whole gay
that's
thing.
Right.
You obviously do this because you're mad at me, but think about your mom, who you love.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm doing it just to make a couple of bucks. Yeah.
Like your son, that's airtight.
For you, it's a lifestyle, old man.
His son.
What were you doing?
That's good.
Okay. Are you kidding me?
Yes, a good reason to get into gay porn, that, fellas, versus the ladies.
That's diabolical.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still thinking about it now.
Yeah. You might be a genius.
Yeah.
Further evidence.
Get her done. Also, I had a couple of thoughts. This predates you guys a little bit, but conversations no one has anymore. Mm-hmm. I talk about all that shit that my mom was always talking about when I was a kid. Everything was always worried about microwaves and sitting too close to the TV
set.
Oh,
yeah.
And, you know, I had to wait 20 minutes before you went in the swimming pool.
Sure.
And all, you know, we basically lived our lives like crazy gypsies. Mm-hmm. And wives' tales and everything. When I was a kid, it was nonstop talk about preservatives. Oh, there's preservatives and everything. Preservatives.
Yes.
The preservatives. That's going to kill you. It's preservatives. They're preserving. They put the preservatives in there. No preservatives talk anymore.
That is absolutely true. I don't know why my Rolodex just flipped to this moment, because of what you just said. At the very beginning of European vacation, and I do not remember what year that is, but they're doing like the game show, like the pick and a poke.
Mm-hmm.
And when he introduces Clark Griswold, he says, like, he works in like food, blah, 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 not preservatives. So that was like
a
thing.
That was a bad word.
Yeah.
It was really bad, and then it's gone now.
You're right.
But
that
seed oil is in everything now.
Has preservatives gotten better? Like, are there natural preservatives that are not as deadly?
If you're canning or pickling.
Also, we just don't.
Or we moved on.
We just kind of moved on.
We have bigger problems. Likely. Bigger fish to fry in rapeseed oil.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I ruined another thing I enjoy. I love, I don't know what it's called, but when you take the olives and you chop them up and you make that kind of compote.
Tapenade. Olive tapenade's fantastic.
I was looking at some spooning that stuff on everything all the time, and I looked at it the other day, and it had sunflower oil was the second thing. So you think it's olive oil because it's
olive oil.
Olives?
No, it makes sense, of course.
No.
The one thing that should be packed in olive oil.
Sunflower oil. Oh. Ugh. It's everywhere.
So you're
cannot
really,
escape
you're
it.
Really looking at that now.
Yeah, you got to upgrade your tapenade, dude.
Here's what I'm saying.
Got Whole Foods tapenade.
You cannot trust that anything doesn't have seed oil in it these days. You have to just read it because it is insanely ubiquitous. All right. Also, I have some hot moonstruck talk.
Oh, I like moonstruck. Here we go.
And I thought I liked it, too.
Oh, no, you don't like moonstruck?
Well, I hadn't watched it. Probably since I saw it in the theater.
Yeah, I saw it when I was a kid.
My defense is probably about 20 years.
Circa 1987. I think it won Best Original Screenplay. I think Cher got her Oscar.
Well, Cher,
Olympia Dukakis got one supporting.
Cher got a nod because she had a gray streak in her hair, which made her seem homely.
And she was kind of playing this character that
over
sort
the top
of worked.
Caricature. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
Nick Cage had no hand, from what I remember.
You go back and watch it now.
Give me the big knife, Chrissy.
It's weird.
I tell you.
It doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
The writing is weird. Everyone's just sort of yelling at each other the whole time.
I couldn't tell you.
Well, I did pull. I told Chris to pull the Nick Cage scene. And when she goes down to the bakery where Nick works to tell her old. First things first.
He took my hand.
Right. Okay, first things first, Chris, I didn't get you on this one, but the man she's going to marry is 57. Nick Cage is 27.
Yeah, Danny Aiello.
And she's like, he's like, you got to get my brother. My brother's got to go. Your brother's 28 years between you and your brother? I mean, Nick Cage looked like he was 24. Yeah,
they are separated by some decades.
Yeah, I don't know how old Danny Aiello was in 87 versus Nick Cage. But and then, so she goes to the bake. She calls him and he hangs up. He like screams at her and hangs up.
Yeah, we'll talk about Johnny.
They're getting married. And I'm just trying to think to myself, well, what was it? What? Why won't he go? Why haven't they spoken in 5 years? So then she goes down to the basement. Danny Aiello is 31 years older than Nick Cage. 31.
A scant 31 years.
She didn't cover, like, after the second marriage and my dad married a younger woman
yeah, right,
and my half-brother. It's just my brother. He's my brother.
Right.
When Danny Aiello was 45, I mean, he didn't look very young in the
No, he
the
was an
movie.
Older man.
Like,
Danny Aiello and Harvey Keitel were born looking about 52.
Why make your brother over 30 years? Yeah, okay. Anyway, so then Cher goes down to the basement where he's baking and decides to just say, you know, just come to the wedding. And here's Nick Cage. Very subdued performance about why nuance is what you'd call
right.
it as to why he wouldn't go to his brother's wedding.
Ronnie. What?
Somebody get a seat, Ron.
Ronnie, somebody wants to see you.
And the brother, Nick Cage, is a psychopath in this movie.
He's a tortured man.
He's a tortured man.
I think Chris even alludes to it. He is so tortured.
The Cher approaches him next to his oven.
You go for my brother, Johnny?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, we're going to get married.
You're going to marry my brother, Johnny?
Yeah.
Yeah, would you like to go someplace so we could talk?
I have no life.
Excuse me?
I have no life. My brother Johnny took my life from me.
I don't understand you.
And now he's getting married. He has his. He's getting his. And he wants me to come. What is life?
You know, I didn't come here to upset you.
They say bread is life.
This is one of his best performances.
And I bake bread, and I sweat and shovel this stinking dough in and out of this hot hole in the wall, and I should be so happy. Huh, sweetie? You want me to come to the wedding of my brother Johnny?
By the way, pause it for a second.
Where's my wedding?
Didn't Johnny know his brother was a psychopath when he said like, go get my brother, like he was in Newark yeah. and
right.
he was a dentist, you know, and they hadn't spoken in a right. while or
He's
something.
He's a basement dweller.
Yeah.
He's a basement
who
dweller.
Hates the world.
All right. Feel free to not invite him to the wedding.
So why won't he, what's his beef with his brother is the question. Go ahead.
Chrissy, over by the wall, bring me the big knife.
No, Ronnie.
Bring me the big knife. I'm going to cut my throat.
Maybe I should come back another time.
No, I want you to see this. I want you to watch me kill myself so you can tell my brother Johnny on his wedding day, okay? Chrissy, bring me the big knife!
I tell you, I won't do it!
She won't do it. Do you know about me?
Oh, Mr. Camarero.
What? Do you know about me?
Mm-mm.
Nothing is anybody's fault, but things happen. Look.
It's got a wooden hand.
This wood
oh.
is fake. 5 years ago, I was engaged to be married, and Johnny came in here, and he ordered bread for me. And I said, oh, okay, some bread. And I put my hand in the slicer, and it got caught because I wasn't paying attention. The slicer chewed off my hand. It's funny, because when my fiance found out about it, but she found out that I'd been maimed, she left me for another man.
Is that the bad blood between you and Johnny?
Yes, that's it.
All right. Well, hold on a second. Let's just say he worked at Aerobex or a juice and stuff or
right.
something, and then the brother came in and went, I'll have a yeah, smoothie, sure. and then he put his face into the blender.
Bad blood.
Is it... But don't customers
fault.
Come in all day and just
yeah.
ask for bread since
yeah.
he works at a bakery?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Why the acrimony here? I mean, what's...
He doesn't seem like he's really into introspection.
But is his brother's fault because he asked for bread and then he
I can't believe
like,
you're
distracted?
Reading the absurdity. The absurdity is the joke. It's absurd. It doesn't make any sense. That's why it's funny.
I mean, at the very least, be mad at the fiancé that left you.
He has no reason to be upset at him. That's why it's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I'm going to see the rest of the scene.
I'm going to scream, I have no
this
hand.
This whole movie has a lot of this in it, which is it's weird writing. It's not particularly funny.
Alt.
I don't care. I ain't no freaking monument to justice. I lost my hand. I lost my bride. Johnny has his hand. Johnny has his bride. You want me to take my heartbreak, put it away, and forget?
She has sex with him like moments after this, too.
Should have won an Oscar.
Pretty crazy.
Is it just a matter of time before a man opens his eyes and gives up his one dream?
Finest actor of our generation.
His one dream of happiness.
Everyone's crying.
Everyone's crying.
Maybe.
I just forgot what a weird movie this movie was.
It's definitely weird.
It's kind of Twin Peaks-ish.
Yeah.
Looking back at it.
Remember the old man, Cosmo, who just kind of walk his dogs and stare at the moon?
Yeah,
there's a lot of weird elements to this movie.
Everyone is having an affair with everyone.
The most tormented man I have ever known.
Olivia Dukakis doesn't really...
I'm in love with this man.
You can pause. Doesn't really do that much in it. It's kind of weird. It's just a weird... I don't know. I would ask everyone to go back and revisit Moonstruck. I think it'll seem weird to you and not as funny as you thought it originally was. But
was
interesting.
Were they billing it as a comedy? I don't remember.
Yeah. It was definitely like a romantic comedy.
Wow.
Yeah, but it was weird.
It's like a swippy off your feet kind of, you know, whimsical comedy.
Very whimsical.
I think a lot of it was the Italian heritage stuff. There's a lot of people going, Mom, you don't understand. And they play the music.
Cosmo's Moon.
Yeah, and it was kind of, they kind of liked it. All right, so that was my...
Hot Moonstruck
talk. That was my Hot Moon. Now, going back to about the same time, I was... listening to Madonna's Material Girl the other day.
Were you now?
Actually, yesterday.
That's a fun pop song,
Well, it came on the radio.
Okay.
Yeah, Madonna has a lot of fun pop songs, but this one is fun and bad.
Yeah.
Is this Joel Tune territory?
Yes. Oh, yes. This is all tinny. Yeah.
Here's the question. I said, is Madonna happy about this now? Like... Because, and I'll tell you why, because everyone just goes, oh, yeah, come on. You take any comedian and show them a set from when they were 23 and they cringe. They're like, oh, I can't believe I was. Even if you think it's funny, they'll still cringe.
Right. And she is now forever the material mom,
I'm
the
so
material
glad you
girl.
That up because I think I've brought up in the show before, but how much does it annoy you when it's like the morning show or like Extra or Hawks, yes, Hollywood? Ah, the material girl is 57 years old today.
And she has to live with that.
And Billy Joel's always, ah, the piano man is turning 62.
Yeah.
She's always the material girl.
Yeah, so she often remarked that Material Girl is the song she most regrets recording.
Oh, really? I just stumbled onto this one song, and but turn up for a second. Just listen. It's quirky. It's like she must cringe. It must be embarrassing when she's like talking. And it's also flies in the face of Madonna's sort of ethos about women and empowerment and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was curating herself. It was like a modern-day Marilyn Monroe at this point.
Right.
If you included this song on a Cyndi Lauper record and no one ever heard of Madonna, you'd be like, yeah, okay.
Of course it's Cyndi Lauper, Now, does she feel exactly the opposite or the same about Like a Virgin in that same ethos?
This one is emotionally bad and sonically corrupt as well. Like just
sonically corrupt!
It is. Listen... It lacks musicality.
It's one long commercial jingle.
Yeah, I can get down with this. It's like a silly, just full of pop song, but there's nothing remarkable about it. This is
it's
not
It's got
like a
some
prayer.
Weird stuff where she's making her noises and stuff. Yeah. And like, she must hate to hear this.
Oh, it's coming back.
Oh! She's barking.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm glad she hates it.
she hates the moniker, for sure.
She said, I mean, she appreciates what it did for her career, the song and the video, but she hates that she was known as Material Girl, and she'll be known as a Material Girl till she's 90.
The Material Girl is 95
but
years
that's
old
what
today.
They say, the Material Mom.
She said, like, Lana Turner was the Sweater Girl until the day she died. She
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sweater girl?
Sweat a lot? That's what I heard. All right. A correction. The phalanx system we're looking at out of Israel, it was pointed out to Chris multiple times that that was from a video game.
Damn good video game.
And it was actual synthesized. But I said to Chris, is it still what Israel uses to is that their Iron Dome?
Yeah.
Is that the technology?
Yeah, in so which the, case, the game's called Arma 3, and it's an open world realism based military tactical.
So it's a bit like an artist illustration
like,
of what
yeah,
goes
like an
on.
Exhibition.
But they still use the phalanx system, and that's what Israel uses in their Iron Dome.
Exactly.
All right. So it's a artist sensationalized version of it, but that's how it how it works.
Speaking of that, I don't have the story in front of me. I read it quickly this morning, but I can look at it for tomorrow. LAUSD and public schools, I think in San Francisco, are leaning on the teachers' union to make sure that there's no like pro-Israel talk in school.
Oh yeah,
did I get that right?
Yes, I heard that over the weekend. They're going to sort of align themselves with, which is a anti-Israel whatever. It's kind of an interesting thing, which is, you know, every year, I can't remember if I brought this up, but all the big newspapers, they endorse a candidate.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
Of course.
I thought to myself, why? Like, if you're the LA Times you go, you always endorse a Democratic candidate, but why? Because now I don't really believe your stories about the other guy. Like, if you've stayed, you're a newspaper.
Right.
I don't know. Like, if you're
the last one.
Your LA Teachers Union, don't make an announcement Israel versus Palestine. Just, you're supposed to teach.
Right.
You just teach.
You're absolutely right.
Is it to avoid controversy, or are they taking a stance?
But how is that avoiding controversy?
I have no idea.
It's pretty controversial.
Everyone's taking a stance on everything, and these unions especially, but just everybody. I don't know whether you're Coca-Cola or Delta or the LA Times or the teachers union. Just go out and do what you do.
Right. Just teach or report.
Just teach or sell soda or whatever it is.
Right.
In that, along those lines, I pulled a life water. I was watching a little A&E over the weekend. I was watching a little of the million-dollar listings.
Okay.
And there's nothing that's $1 million, by the way.
Like
New York million-dollar listing.
If you're lucky. Yeah.
The average listing is like $8.7 million.
Bus stop.
But this is A&E getting behind Pride Week. But the message is sort of like, okay, if people are different, they didn't have stand a chance in the arts. Well, just play it for you. You'll have a laugh.
Because of our gender, who we fall in love with, the color of our skin, or the ability of our bodies, our life's work may never be seen.
Okay, hold on. There's no gay people in the arts. This is the one. Look, if you guys were talking about coal mining in the 40s, or maybe you're talking about, you know, I don't know, if someone who worked in a quarry or smelting
Lumberjack.
Something. I don't show musicians and filmmakers and painters.
In one area you could argue they thrive for decades.
Because of the color of our skin and who we choose to love. Shut the fuck up, everyone, with all your fucking shit. Or come up with a different angle.
It's an outdated message. Like, this might have been true, you know, some number of years ago, but...
It's
getting less and less true with every passing year.
Got to go back 40 years for this one. I'm sorry. We can keep playing
Please.
It and we can find out. We wouldn't be able to get, we wouldn't hear their words or their music or their poetry or their fashion, Gina.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Flower design.
It's time for change. Lifewater is on a mission to fill the world with creativity by people like
finally,
us.
Black people
so
can
it
dance.
Can inspire the next generation. Join
inspire the next generation. Lifewater doesn't give two shits about anything.
You know how
they're gonna inspire the next generation.
You know how you hear people say, like, you know, if you care so much about the holiday spirit or whatever, like, you know, do Christmas at another time of the year or whatever,
or listen to Christmas music in July.
Right. If you so believe in the message of the gay movement. Mm-hmm. Don't save it for Pride
Limited
Month.
Pride.
Yeah. Do it any old
it
time.
It feels very cynical.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me tell you about Tommy John. You may have busted dad's balls growing up, but now it's time to make it up to him on Father's Day with Tommy John. From beautiful Tommy John Designs. I'm wearing my Tommy John underwear right now. More comfortable than anything out there in the market. Over 14 million pairs sold. Tens of thousands of five-star reviews. Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. Dozens of comfort innovations like breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric with four times the stretch of competing brands. Once dad tries Tommy John underwear, he's never going back. I guarantee it. It is the best pair he'll ever wear, or it's free. Guarantee. It's Tommy John, right, Dawson?
Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order right now. Order by June 15th for delivery by Father's Day. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Adam. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
All right, let's take a quick break. I got a little game film from The View, some hot topics to break down. And then we'll also talk to the mayor
of Aurora, Colorado,
about homelessness. I have a thought. We'll do that right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Adam, I have a super old or super new Amazon. Either river with all the prehistoric cultures, or of course where we buy our stuff online.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
All right, we're going to talk to Mayor. Yes, Gina.
That's very good. Amazon, and in that same line that I never thought of, Banana Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, oh boy, is there a chasm.
Yeah, these are all good. These are fun. The mayor, Mike mm-hmm. Kaufman of Aurora, he went out and he lived amongst the homeless and, sort of
lived the shelters and encampments
and came away with some very different thoughts. Max Zapata is going to get him on the blower, so maybe I'll wait on my hot topics.
Oh, don't bury the leaves. Come on.
You guys have to
You don't
watch.
Dangle Behar in front of us.
You
and
have
not
to watch
give it to
The View. The View, first off, everyone has tenure there. Like, nobody's going anywhere. Right. They don't feel like, and I don't know if there's anyone, if you do late night shows, the other late night shows, they're always nipping at your heels. Like, sure. They're looking at the overnights and the demographics. Every day you're looking at who won the night and overnight stuff. I feel like The View doesn't really have that.
Oh, they're an apex predator?
Yes. They don't have any predators in the wild. And then they kind of got rid of the live audience. They have this weird...
The screens?
The illusion they're in the same room, but they're clearly not.
Right.
There's that, and the audience isn't in the room either. The audience is a video bank of just people applauding.
That was an Ellen thing, I think. That was the first... She came up with that.
Yeah, so they're really mailing it in. But we'll get to that. We'll get some hot topics after that. First, we'll talk to the mayor of Aurora, Mayor Mike Kaufman. Mayor?
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Chris. By God, that's producing, man, for seeing. Now, was it an article you came out with, or I'm trying to think of how we saw you in this homeless story.
So, on January 26th, I decided to, it was slow time of year, and I told my staff I was taking a vacation. Let no one know, but one reporter, and went homeless for a week, and stayed in three different shelters and one encampment, and so got some direct observations and wrote some articles after that concerning what my observations were, and unfortunately fairly controversial. seen by some. And so that's where we are now. I am moving towards an initiative for a camping ban in the city of Aurora. Well, actually, legislatively trying to move that forward.
What would that entail? What does a camping ban entail?
Well, a camping ban, I think, is a balance between the rights of those experiencing homelessness and the rights of homeowners and business owners. And so what it effectively says is that it is unlawful to camp in unauthorized areas in our city on private or public land. Private land, of course, if the zoning approves it and there's permission from the owner. And notice will have to be given, and that we will have a designated area for them to go to that will provide much-needed services. But the notion of people camping anywhere, and unfortunately the trash that builds up with that and some of the problems associated with it, I think needs to be dealt with.
Yeah, there should be a simple announcement made from all mayors and all governors and all cities, which is, if you would arrest taxpayers for doing it, then you can't fucking do it. This is the new world we're at, which is if I went out and attempted to go do all this shit, then something would happen to me. But somehow we've gone into some sort of weird Orwellian lawlessness where if you're an empty bag, you can just do whatever the fuck you want. But I'll get off my high horse, Mayor. Let's talk about the difference between encampments and shelters. And also, what's the controversy? This is what you experienced.
What's the takeaway that people are missing?
So the I think the controversy was, when, in my observations, was that in the shelters there were three different categories of people. I think the first was those who were truly mentally ill. There will be those who have a very expansive definition of what that means, but in my observations, it's people that, you know, were obviously talking to themselves, not able to interact with others, and had the skills simply to navigate the system in order to get food, but nothing else, and never be able to take care of themselves. But then there's what I call the big middle. And the big middle were people that had been chronically homeless, had drug and alcohol challenges, but the vast majority had little desire to change. And so, and then the third were those that were displaced by the pandemic, but not a large group. However, I had a lot of, I have 100% confidence in, you know, they were utilizing, they wanted to go to work. They wanted to go back to work, and they were, you know, they lost their income, they lost their apartment or their house. And so they were, you know, had a solid plan. They were doing day labor, some of them, getting jobs, but staying in the shelter at night as a place to save money in order to be able to get a deposit on an apartment. And some waiting out the pandemic, people that, for instance, people that cleaned houses that, you know, and during the pandemic, you had public health officials saying nobody but your immediate family should be in the house with you. And so they basically got tossed out and were not, and lost their income, lost their work, lost their income. So there were those three categories. In the encampments that I experienced in downtown Denver, now there was one I was going to go to in Aurora that had been cleaned up by the time I got there. The encampments in Denver, in downtown Denver, may not be representative of I think, all encampments, but they were really younger people, really hard drug use, kind of you're both probably way too young for this, but in the late 60s, early 70s, there was a hippie movement. It was about dropping out. It was about a communal lifestyle, and it was drug use, but that drug use was, you know, hallucinogenic drugs and marijuana. I think pertain to this population, with the exception that the drug use is hard drug use. It's crystal meth. It's heroin. You see people shooting up, young people shooting up. You see young people smoking it in clear glass pipes. I mean, just really sad. But in my discussions with them, just no desire to move on.
Well, so is this a safe statement that the people that were in the shelters, Is it impossible to do drugs in the shelters or difficult to do drugs in the shelters?
It's very difficult. It's very difficult. And so that's a big reason. And what amazed me was you kind of bifurcate the populations, that there was no crossover between the two populations for those people experiencing homelessness. If you were in a shelter, you were never going to go to an encampment. And if you were in an encampment, you'd never go to a shelter.
Right.
And so a lot of it is the fact that the shelters are in a supervised setting. Mm-hmm. To where it's, I mean, some are more strict than others, but generally, it's prohibited and it's difficult to do. Whereas, obviously, in the encampments, they're suspicious of people observing them. So I had to get through that suspicion. But the fact is, it's basically drug use on demand.
Well, just as a practical matter, I don't know Aurora, Colorado that well, but doesn't it get extremely cold? Like, wouldn't it make sense for people in encampments, at least certain times of the year, to go to a shelter?
You know, it does, but they don't do it. They have tents. When it gets really cold, they tend to hibernate. But the amazing thing is that they have tremendous amount of support, at least in the city and county of Denver, by some of the people that live in the area. That will, you know, you, and I didn't believe this when I was first, dealing with this, the people in the encampments, observing them and talking to them and stayed in one that they, somebody told me, I said, where do you get food? And they said, people bring us food. And I said, really? And I was just shocked that, I ate much better in the encampments than in the shelter. And, you know, people bought food. Bought more food than the people in the encampments could eat. I was really shocked by that. And as well as other supplies and blankets and stuff like that. So, but they had sleeping bags and pretty good tents. And they tend to, when it gets really cold, they just tend to hibernate.
I was talking to Dr. Drew about this, and I just sort of put it this way, as I was hearing, you know, it's obviously we're from LA, so it's all over the place here.
Oh, you see, yeah.
And it's completely counterintuitive to do that, you know, the mother of three who lost her job at the bookbindery, sure. And now she's forced to sleep on the, it just didn't make sense. It seems like drugs, and it seems like if you're living there, you want to be there, not in a supervised setting. But I said to Dr. Drew, as I was anticipating speaking to you today, I said, well, here's kind of how you know. If you hear about these stories where refugees from Haiti have to go in and they set up the shanty town or something and they're forced to sleep that way. But if you said to them, we have a facility you can move to. It's indoors. It's got heat. Right. Every single one in the shanty town would get up and go to the fucking facility because it's got a roof, you know. So if you choose to stay on the ground when you have a facility, at least the option of a facility, then it's probably because you want to do things that you can't do in the facility. I don't know. What if, Dawson, you like smoking, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. What if they just said zero smoking in the facility and zero smoking around the facility, you might camp.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, replace the facility.
Replace that with methamphetamine. So is this broken down along party lines? Why do I feel like this is so politicized?
I think, I don't know about partisan lines, but there is clearly a left and a right involved. And I would probably, in terms of how you define the solution. Mm-hmm. And I think to the left, the solution is called housing first. And actually, it's a policy adopted by the second Bush administration, George W. during his tenure, was adopted as federal policy. And what that effect says is that housing is so basic to the human condition that if you solve for housing, not by giving emergency housing, but by giving permanent, what they call permanent supportive housing, that people will on their own change their behaviors. Supportive services, meaning, you know, to deal with drug abuse, to get work skills, to, you know, do those things. And then there's kind of the what I would call the work first philosophy. And that says you ought to require things of them, like being sober, you know, give them help to become sober, but they have to commit to being sober. They have to commit to working. The goal is to get them the work skills, to get them a better job while they're working and while they're staying in an emergency shelter situation. And so we have a program like that that we support in the city of Aurora right now, and I think it's a very effective program. So I think that's kind of the dividing line, in terms of how it's philosophically looked at. And I would say that, you know, those that lean left are probably more likely to be housing first. Those that lean right are more likely to be work first.
We had a situation out here with MacArthur Park or Elysian Park, or I can't remember
Echo
which.
Park.
Echo Park. Park. Damn, there's only three parks. Griffith Park. So we had a situation where just completely overrun. It was a disaster. And at some point, somebody just said, we're cleaning this up. And they just went in and they moved, 7 metric tons of waste and stuff out. And people were protesting. And then they cleaned and resodded it and cleaned it all up and then just said no more camping and opened it up. And it's like sort of magically it's nice now. I have no idea where everyone went. They offered them places. Many didn't want them. The advocates are sort of like the advocates are would be like advocates for why can't these bears eat out of dumpsters at Jellystone Park? You know, it's like because it's killing them, you fucking retards. And it's like, yeah, but you shouldn't be able to. Okay, good luck. You're not helping that community. It seems to me that we're really talking less about. I mean, I think part of the problem is the nomenclature. We go homeless, 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 homeless. So we go get them a home. Mm-hmm. This is a drug. This is an addiction and a mental issue more than it is homelessness. And also think about what it takes to become homeless if, in fact, there is no mental issues or drug issues involved. How many places would you have to stop before you got to the sidewalk?
Alienate everyone you've ever known.
Yes, everyone would move home or sofa surf or
there's a lot of fail safes.
They call it couch surfing, but they're ruining the alliteration of the sofa
couch
surfing.
Couch crash.
Everyone knows 10 people whose guest house they would flop in or inflatable mattress they would flop on or whatever before they got to the sidewalk.
Right.
You have to burn out everybody in your galaxy before you get to the sidewalk, and that's drugs.
Right. And if I can sort of crystallize what I think you said, and you tell me if I'm wrong to both of you, you talk about feeding the bears or, zoos or wildlife, they say, like, don't feed the animals. Because me giving the animal the food that I'm not supposed to do makes me feel better. Not giving it to the animal makes the animal feel better.
Well, makes them do better.
Right, but I'm saying, like, so it's kind of selfish when you put it that way.
Well, also...
Well, I think you're enabling some very destructive behavior.
Yes.
I think that's a central issue. We use public resources, and what private resources do, nonprofits, I think, is their own deal. But I think in terms of tax dollars, I think they really ought to be focused on helping those who want to get off the street, who want to change their behavior, helping the truly mentally ill, and helping those people displaced... who want to get, by the pandemic, by the economy, who want to get back to work, who want to get into stable housing. But for the people that are chronically homeless, that don't want to change, I don't know how you're going to make a difference. And I just don't know that the notion of housing first is a smart way to spend tax dollars.
Well, we hear, and I don't know if, widespread this was throughout the country, but we had the Motel Key program, and that during the pandemic to get people physically off the street and to go inside when everyone was locked down. And a lot of the reports were, well, these motel rooms are obliterated. They're destroyed. I mean, they're full of drug use. In San Francisco, you can have the drugs brought to you and the liquor brought to you. And so it's not like these, having the four walls and a roof magically makes people better. These places were destroyed. So, yeah, where's the balance?
Well, there's another pretty simple thing, which is, we have decided as a society that you may not camp on the sidewalk in front of people's houses. That's just the rule. And as a matter of fact, I don't even know that you need a no camping rule. Right. It's a no shit Sherlock rule. You're not allowed to do it, and you're not helping anyone by doing it. And it proliferates. It's just more and more and more. So thanks for fighting the good fight, Mayor. Mayor Mike, I appreciate it. And sorry, you know, we're getting to the point now where people go out, experience something, give their observations, and then are attacked for experiencing what they were. And by the way, you could have gone out and experienced total sobriety amongst the people camping on the street, and you would have reported that.
And if anyone disagrees with you, by all means, do what Mayor Kaufman did and see for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me tell you, I think if I would have said all these people are all victims, we've got to do this whole thing, this permanent supportive housing, and they would have been erecting a statue for me, of me. But it is a tough issue. It's a complicated issue. But, you know, it in a way, it reminds me of the welfare reform of the 1990s, where finally, I think in 1996, they passed welfare reform that said you have to participate in work, training, or education in order to receive public benefits. Of course, that's been watered down since then. If you're on the public assistance program, which is now a temporary aid to needy families, we need that sort of a movement when it comes to homelessness. I mean, we need to require something of them that they're going to affirmatively do something to change their behavior.
Yeah, I think that was Clinton's movement, and he's like, hey.
Well, actually, a Republican Congress gave it to him.
Well, Clinton was down with it, and he was like, and it worked. It got a lot of people off the rolls. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's pretty sad. Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate it. People are people, you know. You say to them, "We'll give you money indefinitely," and they'll take the money indefinitely. You tell them you got 3 months, and then you got to get a job. They'll get a job. That's same as a teenage boy,
right?
A 19-year-old living in the guest house.
Are you kidding me?
You go, okay. You got to the end of summer to get a gig, and then stepmom's booting you out.
Right.
Well,
find a gig, or you can say hang out, and then they'll hang out. All right, we have the view. The view. This is me stumbling into an episode and a hot topic. And the subject is vaccines and incentives. And now, again, they're all provided with the subjects well in advance. There's probably a couple of writers on staff that'll give you a few beats and talking points. But let's just listen to how they mail it in.
As of today, around 63% of adult Americans have received at least one dose of a COVID vaccine. And President Biden is rolling out a wide variety of incentives to get shots in the arms and hit the 70% mark by the 4th of July. Take a look.
We're going to continue encouraging people to get vaccinated with incentives and fun rewards. The NBA, the NHL, NASCAR. NASCAR tracks. They're offering vaccines outside playoff games and in races. Major League Baseball will be offering free tickets to people who get vaccinated at the ballpark. And to top it off, Anheuser-Busch announced that beer is on them on July the 4th.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Get a shot and have a beer.
USA.
Free beer for everyone 21 years or over to celebrate the independence from the virus.
Fucking narc.
Oh, boy.
By the way, when Biden is making, when Biden looks like Rip Taylor compared to Whoopi, it's time to bring the energy up a couple of clicks. But all right, now so let's hear the hot takes.
So, Sarah, are incentives good? I mean, we talk about them for our kids and our friends and our family. I mean, I think anything that gets people going, I'm all for. What do you think?
I'm all for it as well. And that felt like a school principal at a school raffle. Like, you can get some good stuff if you just take this shot. But I rarely believe the ends
justify
the means.
But in this case,
anything to get to our goal of the
70%
by the 4th of July, I'm on board
for. Meghan McCain.
One side of me gets a little sad because I know there are people dying to take this vaccine that would take it in a second with no reward. With many of us did without any incentives. But I also don't want to oversimplify it. I think there are reasons why people haven't gotten them. You have the child care issue. People that are worried missing work if they have side effects. Staying open, having the hours of the vaccination sites extended. getting to the communities that need it the most, communities of color.
We're not really, hold on a second. We're not asking enough of ourselves. Like, I'd like to get vaccinated, but I have a 9-year-old. Who's going to watch him? When I was a kid, I went everywhere with my stupid mom and just stood there. You know what I mean? Or like sat in the car.
Going shopping with your parents was the worst.
How many JCPenney's return runs?
Anyway, she's bringing a little bit of the energy because she's sitting in for Meghan McCain. Sorry, go ahead.
All of these are potential kind of stopgaps. So these incentives are exciting because they have people offering these things. And I read something that made me laugh. It was a tweet by a business editor at Axios, Dan Primack. He said, so if you get it vaccinated, you can now get free Budweiser, Krispy Kreme donuts, and chances to win a lottery. Pretty sure that means you hate America if you don't get vaccinated. And I think that kind of sums
it up. That's hilarious.
Not her take, though.
Anna, are these incentives a right way to get people to go get stuff done that is good for them?
Look, first of all, it feels like we are...
Hold on. Whoopi has distilled her verbiage down to, like, when you'd stay at someone lets you use their cabin... And they just have like flour, yeast, baking soda.
Right.
Like she's like, salt. People with stuff, is it good? It's good for stuff to get
now,
people to things with them and shots with stuff. For
you turn
good?
Now.
Yeah,
yes.
You speak now. You?
All right. Here we go.
Take for granted our privilege as Americans. Whoopi, there are countries all over the world, including places where I have family and friends like Nicaragua, places like India, places like Canada, just next door, where people are desperate, waiting for their turn to be vaccinated because they don't have enough vaccines. And here we are having to throw lollipops and donuts and beer at people in order for them to get vaccinated. But you know what? Whatever works. And I want to say that, you know, there's Republican governors in states like Ohio, Mike DeWine, and Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson, and even in West Virginia, Jim Justice, who's got his dog, baby dog, as the mascot of the Get Vaccinated.
Jim Justice.
Have you ever seen that dog? Who has the mascot,
look at the dog. I've never seen
the
a dog before.
Campaign, and they are giving away incentives, whatever it takes. As you know, all of us are vaccinated, and the freedom we feel, the safety we feel, it's something you do for yourself and for those you love around you. I mean, get over it, people. Just do it.
Come on.
And Joy, you know, part of this,
Joy's
what we're seeing
take.
Is there are also states that say if you are not vaccinated, you can't participate in this or this or this or this. So what do you think?
Hold on,
about-
just pause there. Comedy is being specific.
Right.
Her examples were this.
Like, I know what her brain went. You can't participate in
things.
Like, that, those stuff, and, or that. Things of that. All right, go ahead. Sorry, roll it back 10 seconds. Let's just listen to super specific examples of what you can't participate in. All right, it's good.
And Joy, you know, part of this, what we're seeing is there are also states that say if you are not vaccinated, you can't participate in this or this or this or this. So what do you think about West Virginia's lottery offering guns for getting vaccinated?
I saw the breathing. I saw you breathing. You know, well, before I get to that, I just want to say that some of these incentives are really working because in Ohio, their $1 million lottery drawing led to a 28% increase in vaccination rate in the first week. So some of it is working, even if we have to be like, you know, come on, take your vaccine, like
there
are a bunch of toddlers. Mm. But the thing about the gun that's fascinating is like, so take a bunch of people who are paranoid already because they're afraid of the vaccination. Many of them are delusional, believing that Trump won the election, and let us put a gun in their hands. What a brilliant idea. How did anybody not think of that before? And if that doesn't work, how about an AR-15? Maybe we can get them a Sherman tank to run through the neighborhood. I mean, it's one thing to say, I'm going to give you a college education. It's another thing to say, I'm going to hand you a weapon.
Angel West.
Thought. She is petering out at the end because she is used to being interrupted by Meghan McCain and them going back and forth, and she has nowhere to go.
Yeah, I know. Sherman Tank from 1941.
Okay, Joy. She didn't get that.
All right, let's. We'll pull the plug on this.
How did we go from a scant few months ago of people doing anything in their power to get this vaccine to now, like, come on, please, and like treating people like babies,
it's a
like
self-selecting sample.
It's crazy.
Yeah, self-selecting. I mean, there were people jumping the line, and
everybody was dying to get it.
No pun intended.
Yeah, and now it's like nobody cares.
Well, the incentive for those people early on was I'm not going to get the. Yeah, right. I'm not going to get coronavirus.
All right, we got the Rotten Tomatoes game coming up. First, I'll tell you about Klaviyo. Ever wonder how the e-commerce brands you admire do it? It's not experience. They have the right data and the right tools. They have Klaviyo. Klaviyo's data-driven marketing automation platform is sophisticated enough to power legendary campaigns from brands you admire, but simple and easy and fast enough for anyone. Klaviyo helps brands create personalized multi-channel marketing campaigns using customer data. Klaviyo integrates with all leading e-commerce platforms. Drag and drop easy. Get started with your first campaign in under an hour, and it's easy to build from there. Klaviyo's templates, so you can use Klaviyo's templates, and super easy. 65,000 brands can't get enough, including some of the brands you hear me talk about on this podcast. Right, Dawson?
To get started with a free trial of Klaviyo, visit klaviyo.com/Adam. That's KLAVIYO.com/Adam.
All right. So let's take a quick break, come back, and do Rotten Tomatoes right after this.